My name is Shredda, and this is The Lightner Side of Things, Practitioner Perspectives in School Psychology, a place for school psychology practitioners to come together and share experiences and insights about their work. Hi, so today I'm talking with Dr. Lilienstein. Hi, Dr. Lilienstein.
Hi there. Good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you for joining me today. I'm so excited to talk to you about a few different topics, especially intern supervision. But before we sort of get into all of that, can you just give us an overview of your career journey, why you became a school psychologist, and just sort of where you're at now?
Absolutely. So thank you for having me. So my journey into school psych didn't actually start heading in the direction of school psychology. When I was in undergrad, I started out, my major was business economics. I thought I was going to be going in the direction of human resources management. Didn't do so well in microeconomics, and that was kind of a wake-up call. And I started thinking about, is this really the direction I want to go? I really want to work with people. You know, everybody in school psych likes working with kids. I do like working with kids. So I then shifted, and I thought I was actually going to go into elementary ed. Where I went to undergrad, we didn't start out with a major. You applied for a major for your junior year. So after your sophomore year, you applied. I was actually rejected for L-Ed. Who gets rejected for L-Ed, right? It's considered to be one of the easier majors. Well, I didn't have the right coursework. And my advisor met with me after I received my rejection and said, though this has never happened to me, let's look at your courses. And so we looked at my courses, and they were all heavy in psychology. And she said, I really think, you know, you might want to consider going into the psychology major. So I did end up doing that. And then got into my senior year, and I had no idea what I wanted to do, but I knew that being a psych major, I was probably majoring in graduate school, but I didn't know what direction I wanted to go in. So I was having a really bad day in my undergrad department one day. We had like a room where we could go to, and it had all this information on graduate schools. And I was obviously not having a good day. And one of my professors came in and said, what's going on, David? You look really down. And I said, I don't know what I want to do for the rest of my life. And so we started talking, and my advisor actually said to me, you know, the more I'm talking to you, the more school psychology is coming to mind. And I said, well, what's that all about? She said, I don't know. I know what it is, but I don't really know what it is. So I actually shadowed some school psychologists to get a flavor of what school psych was like, and it just lit my fire. The psychologists that I shadowed were very non-traditional in their practice. And I said, you know what, I think I could do this. Now, my mother was a psychologist in private practice. I knew I didn't want to do private practice. I didn't necessarily like the hours. I didn't like, you know, working on an island. I really wanted to be with people. But at the same time, I wanted to help others. I wanted to try to change systems, not just help people to change or to be better, but I wanted to actually work with systems. So I got a job as a childcare worker in a residential center. I loved the job. But I was so frustrated because I felt like I was coming in too late to try to help. And that experience combined with, you know, my shadowing of school psychologists, I started to then look into a school psych training program. And that's, you know, what got me to where I am today. I ended up going to IUP for my master's in ed specialist. I then took a job, and I continued on for my doctorate while I was working. Why not have a school district pay for your doctorate? So I did work on my doctorate while I was working, and I have been. This is my third school district. I did my internship in New York, in New York State, so I got a flavor of what it's like working in another state. But my first job was working in the Poconos. I worked for IU20. I was employed by IU20, but I worked full-time in East Stroudsburg School District. And I was hired there basically because in my internship, I was hired at my internship to help them to implement an IST process. The internship wanted to hire an intern from Pennsylvania because at the time, Pennsylvania was going through the IST implementation, and they knew that the graduate students were getting some of the background training. And so I was actually hired to assist the district in implementing an IST initiative within the school district. When I got hired at IU20 by East Stroudsburg, the reason I was hired there too is also because they wanted me to help with IST. So, you know, from the very beginning, I was entering into a non-traditional role, and I was not heavily involved with, you know, the test in place and eligibility decision making. Obviously, I did all of that, but really my focus was on intervention and systems level intervention, and then also some individual intervention. I worked in the Poconos for 2 years and loved my job, loved the district, loved everything about it. I did not care for the Poconos. So ended up moving out of the Poconos, took a job in Mechanicsburg School District, where again, I was hired to try to change the role of the school psychologist to become more consultative in the approach to school psychology. Worked there for 6 years, and then an opportunity came up at Derry Township to do the same thing. They were replacing a very traditional contracted school psychologist, and they wanted to change the role. There was another psychologist here. And so in August 2002, I moved over to Derry Township School District in Hershey, and I've been here ever since.
Awesome. It's so funny that most of the school psychologists I talked to did not know about school psychology until at least undergrad. And most of the time, not even then. It was usually after undergrad, later in life, that they learned about the field.
Yeah, and you know, when I think back, unfortunately, I mean, I was very actively involved in our psych club on campus. And I mean, we had field trips, and we had speakers come in, and they talked about all different fields within psychology. We never had anyone from school psych come in and talk to us. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that any of my colleagues that I went to undergrad that I graduated with ended up in school psych except for me. And it was only because I was having a bad day and my one professor who I was really close to walked by and saw that I was obviously having a bad day and started talking to me about school psych. And even that professor was like, I really don't know what school psych is, but it sounds like it's for you. And so I explored it, and it definitely was. So, and I can say I am so glad that I went into the field of school psych, and I can truly say that I absolutely love my job and I love what I'm doing. And, you know, now we're coming off the summer break, and I'm actually looking forward to the fall because I get to see the kids again and the teachers, and, you know, I like what I do.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think some of that may be changing a little bit now, too. I know Charles Barrett has the Exposure Project. They're getting into high schools and into universities now, just spreading mm-hmm. more awareness about the field, which is fantastic.
Yeah, even in our district, we have a psychology class that students take, and it's a very popular class. In fact, almost all of our students take it. And it's an AP psych. It's very challenging. I mean, these are kids that are going on to college. They're probably going to be going on to grad school. And we go and we speak about school psychology in that class. And we have a PowerPoint that we present. And it's the same PowerPoint that we present when we go to some of the local universities and speak to the psych undergrads. So we're trying to increase awareness from early on. I have students from our high school that internship with me during the school year. And I mean, it's not the same kind of an internship as a school psych internship, but, and because of HIPAA, they can't, and FERPA, they can't necessarily be exposed to everything, but I do have them working with kids, and I talk to them about school psych, and I talk to them about what I do, and, either weed them out or welcome them in, you know, it seems to be effective. We've actually had a few graduates from our high school that have gone into the field of school psych, and they're students that I worked with, and after working with them, I said, I really think that this is a field for you, and they definitely followed that advice.
That is fantastic. It's all about the exposure and just spreading awareness.
Absolutely. That's awesome.
And so it sounds like you've had more of a unique experience coming into the field because you were able to focus on the IST process and kind of expand that consultative role instead of just doing testing and placing, like you said. I also know that you have some leadership roles. You have a leadership role with the State Association of Pennsylvania, and then you take on leadership roles in your district. Do you think taking on that consultative role, that I guess the experience of working on more of a systems level or systems issues led you to those leadership roles more so than if you were just doing like the typical testing?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, in each of my positions, I was hired to help to effect change. Okay, so the nature of the position that I had definitely helped. But in my graduate training program, that was really heavily focused, and it was to be a change agent, not just to change a child or an individual, but to be a change agent for the system, whether the system is a family, a classroom, a school district, a community, like impact, be impactful in what you do. And so I have taken that message and that training from my graduate program into what I do even to this day. It was kind of funny, when I was hired at Derry Township, my title was Director of Psychological Services, which is kind of funny because there was only one other school psychologist. So I was like director of one, maybe director of two, if you think of the total number. But I had an Act 93 position. I sat on our administrative team. And so through that, I was able to help to, you know, impact the district and bring some change to the table. I was able to help with moving the role to consultative. I was able to bring IST to fruition in the district. And then after IST, to introduce the district to curriculum-based measurement and curriculum-based assessment, and then this thing called RTI, and then it was RTII, and then it was MTSS. And, you know, all of those initiatives started either with myself or with the school psychologists. You know, we now have 3 full-time school psychologists in the district. We have 3 full-time interns each year. We also have practicum students. We were part of the RTI grant from Lehigh, so we always had students placed here from Lehigh through the RTI grant, which unfortunately has ended, but we still have a relationship. We've had interns placed here from other districts or other training programs throughout the state and even out of state. And we feel very strongly that the internship year is a year of imprinting. And so we are not just concerned about training good interns who are going to go out and carry the message forward, but we're also concerned about our reputation. So we want to make sure we do a good job. And that's how we approach the internship. That's how we approach, you know, kind of grooming the interns to enter into non-traditional practice. It's a year of imprinting. They have a non-traditional experience here, and we want them to carry that forward.
Awesome. And just as an aside, I was also on the RTI grant at Lehigh.
How were you?
So that's, I was, yeah. So I'm very partial to Lehigh, and that whole experience is such an amazing experience.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, the professors there are wonderful, even to this day, they're still wonderful. But I really enjoyed working with Ed Shapiro. You know, Dr. Shapiro used to scare the heck out of me. And I was so nervous around him. But we developed this mutual respect for each other, because he approached things from a very heavily scientist approach, and we approach things from a very heavily practitioner approach, and the combination of the two was very effective and powerful. And it was so nice, you know, as we worked together, to be able to email him and to address the email with Ed, you know, and to have him respond right away, and or to have him reach out to us to say, you know, this is what the research is saying, what are your thoughts about how to implement it? You know, and it was nice to have that scientist practitioner combination between university and school district.
Yeah, absolutely. And he was pretty intimidating at times,
Yeah.
but just such a wonderful person, wonderful
Awesome
mentor. I couldn't
person.
have asked for anything better.
Yeah.
I think I cut you off before you were going to say it, but can you just list or outline what leadership role you have in your district right now?
Yeah, right now my role, a few years ago, the administrative team was being looked at by our superintendent. The board had said we need to reduce the number of administrators and the number of Act 93 positions in the district. So I say at first, unfortunately, I was one that was cut. Fortunately, I was one that was cut, because what it did is it took a lot of those duties off of my plate. I no longer had to coordinate assessment in the district. I no longer was the data person, where I had to present or prepare a lot of data analysis and present that information. And all of that really took me away from being able to kind of be a change agent and at the grassroots level. Over the years, I had been shifted a bit, into kind of overseeing gifted, overseeing assessment, overseeing data, and all of that. And it was nice at first, but it really became a sort of a time suck. And it took me away from being able to do the other parts of my job that were really able to be impactful. So my title now is school psychologist. I'm one of three, and my assignment currently is I work with the gifted support. I work with emotional support, and I'm assigned to the high school. So, because if we start at the high school, most of the kids are identified. I hardly do any initial evaluations at the high school. I'm working with students. I'm part of their IEPs. I meet with students for site counseling. I have regular meetings with them. I fill out the school-based access paperwork if they have that, so I get reimbursed for my services. But it's very non-traditional. It's very heavily mental health, extremely heavily with mental health intervention. I consult with the counselors. I work with them. I advise them. We do threat assessments, a lot of suicide intervention, prevention. I work a lot with parents. With emotional support, K to 12, I also work with the classroom teachers on behavior management, positive behavior support plans. K to 12, I am on IEPs. I'm written into IEPs, and it's very non-traditional. And then with gifted support, I work with the teachers. We have one teacher per level, and I work with the teachers on implementing gifted support. I conduct the evaluations when kids are referred for gifted evaluation, so that the other psychologists don't do that. But overall, my role is very non-traditional. But we are still, all three of us, we are still heavily involved in decision making within the district. So whenever there's a need for any kind of a program evaluation, we are often called upon to assist in that program evaluation. Jason is the statistics person, so he will often, with the interns, will run the statistical analysis. So for example, we brought up the issue of disproportionality in discipline. And the initial reaction was, well, what do you mean? And so we defined what that is. And then we were prepared. We had already done the analysis, and we said, look at what's going on. And so that was then used to basically kick off some change in our district. And to take a look at equity, and to take a look at our disciplinary practices, and so on. And so we are very heavily involved in still implementing change and causing others in the district to kind of question our practices through data analysis. So we are definitely leaders in the district, but maybe not necessarily the ones who are delivering the message to the staff. We may be the ones who bring it up to the administration, and then they carry the message forward.
So you're really working within those practice model domains that a lot of school psychologists unfortunately don't get to work in. But that's a fantastic model for other districts.
Yeah, and actually, our supervision model here, we do follow the state supervision rubric, which, as you know, is tied to the practice model. And we meet with our supervisor. Our supervisor is the director of special ed, She's not a school psychologist, but she has a lot of respect for school psychologists and a lot of respect for us. And we review our practice and how it matches up with the practice model. And so if we're falling short in an area, then she is 100% supportive of us setting a goal to improve in that area. And the practice model is in front of us every day.
And you yourself also have a supervisory certificate, is that correct?
Yeah, I don't know how many in Pennsylvania currently have that. It used to be like maybe five. I don't even know if it's that many at this point, but yeah, I do have it. It was something that I was able to get by applying, and at the time that I applied, the state was like, "Well, we're really not issuing this certificate anymore." And I questioned it, and I said, "Well, but it's still a certificate. There's still an application. I have the coursework. I had IUP fill out their portion of the application to verify that I had completed the coursework requirements, and so I was able to get it. So yeah, I do have that. However, I do not supervise any certified school psychologists. Obviously, I supervise interns, but you don't need that certificate in order to supervise. The certificate is actually a holdover from the years back, even before I started, when the IUs typically hired supervisors of school psychologists, and most of the psychologists worked for IUs, and there was a supervisor of school psychologists, and so the certificate lended itself to that supervision model.
Okay, interesting. And the reason I bring that up is because I think that it's important for school psychologists to know, especially practitioners, that that is an option for them, that there are other roles that they can take on if they're looking to sort of expand their role or work in a different level. Because I think a lot of psychologists don't know that. And like you said, a lot of special ed directors, they have not been school psychologists, and that doesn't necessarily take away from their ability to do the job, but I think it can be frustrating for school psychologists to sort of have conversations with them or have them sort of understand their own perspective sometimes. So I think it's important to know that.
Yeah, I agree. In our district, it's interesting. There's three of us. I have the supervisor of psychological services certificate in addition to school psych. Jason has the school psych certificate, but he also has supervisor of pupil personnel or pupil services, whatever it's entitled. And then Amanda has school psychologist, but she also has principal certification. We do have 2 hours per week of supervision that we schedule. It is scheduled. We block out that time. We may eat lunch during that time, but we are talking school psychology and supervision topics. The interns are part of that, and it is face-to-face time or Zoom time, but it is scheduled and it is protected time. So we have topics. We have a calendar of supervision topics that we follow throughout the year, and we follow the same calendar each year. So not only do we talk about what's going on right now that we need to, brainstorm, but we also have general topics, things ranging from preparing for a due process to, ethical dilemmas and other topics that would be covered during supervision.
You mentioned that you, one of the roles you take on right now is supervising interns. I know you said roughly over the course of your career, you've supervised roughly 76 interns.
Yeah, I don't know the exact number, but it's around that, and that includes full year interns, practicum interns, undergrad interns, who are trying to figure out where they want to go for grad school or what they want to do. But yeah, it's in the 70s. I have an entire drawer full of files that I keep, and I still remain in touch with a good number of the interns that we've had.
That is a high number. I kind of want to tie that in with what you had mentioned before. You had brought up equity and diversity, social justice issues. And I know, in my view, recently, the conversations of equity, social justice, disproportionality have really been at the forefront in school psychology, whether it's in research or practice. And in today's world, especially with the pandemic sort of highlighting a lot of the inequities that exist in our society, I'm wondering sort of how you've tied that in with your supervision style. If that's something that you focus on with your interns, is that something that you make sure to spend time discussing or providing professional development on, just sort of how you tie that in general?
Yeah, it is a topic that we talk about more than just once. It tends to come up quite a bit. We encourage the interns to bring up issues that they observe and you know, not be afraid. the three of us are actually rather progressive in our political slant, and we don't hide it well. I know that there's some thinking out there that, you know, as a teacher or as a mentor, you're not supposed to let others know where you stand or how you lean. We're not good at that. I don't want to be good at it. I don't want to hide it. We are child advocates. And if something is not right, we need to speak up. If somebody is not being treated humanely or fairly, we need to speak up. We need to be able to speak for those who can't speak, don't speak, are afraid to speak. We are their voice. And so we bring that philosophy to our interns. Be the voice that others don't have. And so if you see something that isn't right, speak up, bring it to our attention. We'll work with you on how to bring it to the attention of others. And I think we've been pretty successful in that. We now have an initiative in our district. We have a new superintendent this year, but we didn't change course when the new superintendent came on board. And the big push is equity. We have a huge professional development plan to address equity and the understanding of equity. And, you know, we have 2-hour delayed starts throughout our school year to allow for professional development. The focus is on SEL and equity. And that's it. We're not talking about curriculum during that time. We're talking about treating people nicely. I mean, that's really what a lot of it comes down to. And it's not just a 1-year initiative. This is ongoing. And we started it, you know, we started with some sensitivity training. I think it was like 2 years ago or something like that. So it's been building. But very clearly now, the message to our staff is that we're going to be focusing on equity, social justice, social emotional learning. We have time built into our calendar, into our daily calendar, our daily schedule for every classroom to address social emotional learning, K to 12. And you know, we've given our staff the tools. We've given them the message. We've given them the PowerPoints. They don't have to come up with it. To address equity and social emotional learning and social justice in their daily lessons, because it's built into their schedule every single day.
You mentioned you've been supervising interns for quite a few years. With the pandemic, how has your supervision style changed? What have you changed in terms of what you offer to your interns?
Yeah, well, when we shut down in March 2020, we approached it as, you know what, this is a wonderful opportunity for all of us to be able to diversify what we do and to fulfill a need that maybe others in the district cannot fulfill. So overnight, we became extremely active with mental health intervention. And so we assisted the interns in making that pivot and shifting. Now, prior to that, they were obviously, you know, working on mental health, but we had to do it remotely. And so we worked with them on you know, how to approach mental health issues remotely and through Zoom, phone call, email, and so on. Our supervision, you know, during the remainder of that year was obviously, it was conducted via Zoom, because that's what we did. We were not allowed on campus, and we sold a different service to the district, and we said, we are not going to be doing remote assessment. But here's what we can do. And the district was like, go for it. We'll worry about the assessments later. When we came back in the fall last year, we had a hybrid model. We continued to say, we will assist and participate in remote assessment for curriculum-based assessment or screening assessments, but not for eligibility. And, you know, there was a period of time we were able to come in. I guess it was, we were shut down as a district from about November till January. And so our students couldn't come in and our staff couldn't come in, but we were given permission to come in and to meet with students if we were comfortable. And so we did. We met, you know, from a distance. We met with all the PPE and separation from the students, and we did some face-to-face evaluations during that time. But for the most part, we were very heavily focused on mental health interventions, and that's, you know, we shifted to providing a lot of supervision along mental health and counseling techniques and listening techniques and so on. I would say our workday pre-COVID was maybe what, you know, 7.5, 8 hours, and our workday, and this goes for us and the interns, our workday after COVID shot up to probably 10, 12 hours some days because of the new opportunities. And it's lended itself to shifting our assignments within the district. So that, for example, I now work directly with emotional support, and I'm at the high school where it's almost entirely mental health. So we basically have, you know, like an extra person now working with emotional support and mental health.
As I'm sort of listening to you talk about the way you approach the pandemic by saying we're not doing assessments, we're going to provide counseling and other supports and services, and your discussion of equity and how you talk to your interns about, you know, if you see something, say something, it's kind of reminding me of a conversation that I've had with lots of practitioners about just having courage in this field and the need to be assertive and be able to say things that may not be popular or say things that may have a little bit of a backlash, and just stand your ground and know your values as a school psychologist.
We always tell the interns, you're not entering into a field where you should be paid to say what people want you to say. Mm-hmm. That's not the direction to go. You need to speak up, and you may say things that are not popular, but that's okay. People will get over it.
Absolutely. I 100% agree. And you just answered my question. I was just going to ask, what tips or what advice do you give to help support that characteristic or that quality?
Yeah, I like how you said it earlier about, you know, having courage. And we say that a lot. If you keep the focus and if you help others to keep the focus on what's right, that will help you to have courage. And just keep reminding yourself, you know, maybe even ask the question, is this right? Is this the way it should be? And if not, speak up.
You mentioned the increase in hours for, you know, school psychologists and interns, and I think that's been the case for a lot of school psychologists across the country. But I do want to talk about the concept of burnout. You know, that's always been an issue in the field. And we would think about the current public health crisis with COVID combined with sort of the current political climate. And you said you're very outspoken. You don't hide your politics necessarily. But we know there's been an impact on schools, and that impact has looked very different in the country depending on which neighborhood or which state you're in. And that's lent itself to, I think, more burnout and more people leaving the field. I don't know what the data is specifically, but I know just generally in education, we're seeing a lot of educators, teachers, school psychologists, counselors leave the field. How do you handle this? What advice do you give to interns, or how do you help them approach the job as they enter into becoming an early career psychologist to sort of help them build their own longevity in the field and not essentially not scare them away?
Yeah. It's a good question. And one of the things that we say to the interns is, first off, find something. We want them to develop a passion during their internship year. Okay. And whatever that passion is, we let them develop it and work on it during their internship year. We want them to carry that forward. We tell them that, look, when you go into a job, you may not necessarily be able to have, some people have referred to Derry Township as the Disney World of school psych. Yeah, it's pretty cool work in here. That may not be the case when you get to your first district. And we tell them that up front. So don't expect your first district to take over where you left off. You may only be able to take over where you left off 10%, maybe 5%. But that 5 or 10%, you can grow it. And maybe that's where your passion comes in. We always talk about assembling a coalition of the willing. When you get to the new district, find those who are going to listen to your ideas, your new ideas, your passion, and grow it with that group. Maybe it's a teacher, maybe it's a grade level, maybe it's a building. That will be determined when you get there. It's also important. I think it's really easy in school psych to be on an island. And it's really important that you not be on an island, because being on an island, it can be very lonely. Find others to be on your island with you. They don't have to be school psychologists, but that's that coalition of the willing. Go slow. Listen. Observe. Ask questions. I was just in our new principal. We have a new assistant principal for grades 2 and 3. And she has a poster on her wall, and I don't remember the exact quote, but it's something about, please don't take my curiosity as being judgmental. And I think, unfortunately, too many people take curiosity as being judgmental. I think it's important that they be careful in how they ask questions, because it can be perceived as being judgmental. You may be questioning practices. So go slow, observe a lot. It doesn't change overnight. And we always tell the interns, we didn't get to where we are now overnight. I'm bald. I lost a lot of hair in 2005, 2006. And that was the year we brought RTI, MTSS to the table. It was ugly. I had teachers, as I was walking into the building, grabbing the door if they walked in before me and pulling the door shut on me. It was ugly. I had teachers in the hallway. I would walk around the corner and I would hear people complaining about the initiative of RTI and what I was proposing. And in fact, the one day I heard a teacher yell, this is all because of one man. You know who that is. Yeah, it was the man who was losing his hair. But why was I doing it? I was doing it because it's right. It's right for kids. And the kids are the ultimate general outcome measure, right? They are the ultimate client. And if we're doing it because it's right, then we need to stand by it. It is through all of that helps with burnout. You're going to have tough days. But if you can keep it focused on what's right, I think it will help. It's important to disconnect. It's important to go home and have a hobby. Don't go home and read school psych review and best practices. No, you got to go home and disconnect. If it means watching Bachelor in Paradise, go watch Bachelor in Paradise. If it means going home and going running or cooking or whatever, do that. You need to disconnect. So even though our hours may not be 7.5 hours a day or 8 hours or 10 hours a day, it's important to disconnect. We tell our interns, don't do reports at home. You do them in school. If you're taking reports home, then you're not doing something right in school. And so there are times of the year where you have to take reports home. I get that. I do it. But I can tell you those days I do it. It's not every day. I can probably, look at my calendar and say it was this date, and it was this date, and it was this date. That was it. It's important that you disconnect. It's important that you have fun at work. I mentioned Bachelor in Paradise. We have a bachelor league here. A number of teachers and I'm the only male staff member, but You know, we watch it, we talk about it. Have fun at what you do. It doesn't all have to be about, you know, the heavy issues that we deal with. Have some fun. We have interns, they join trivia leagues, they go out to dinner with our staff, they go running after work, they go to Zumba class, we have a Zumba class, they do Zumba with our staff. Have fun. That's important. And that will all help with the burnout.
I think after this episode is released, you're going to get a lot of intern applications from all over Pennsylvania. Everyone's going to be flocking to Derry.
Hey, the more the merrier. here's another thing too. We look at, and maybe this helps out with burnout. We look at the internship experience here as one that's a two-way street. We benefit from the interns, and I'm not talking about being able to, you know, do work and do evaluations and write reports. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about interns bring in new ideas. They bring in new training. They bring in, I call it program evaluation. You know, the interns come in and they're like, why do you guys do such and such? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know. I hadn't asked that question before. I hadn't noticed it, you know? And so we really look to benefit from the interns as much as they look to benefit from us. And all three of us as supervisors, we are students just like they are students. They are going to teach us and train us just like we are going to teach and train them. We tell the interns, when you go out to your first job, carry that with you. You're going to learn from others, but you're also going to be teaching others. You know, so if you're in a district that has other psychologists, yeah, you're going to have a mentor. You're going to have someone who is teaching and training you. But hopefully you have some new ideas that you can bring to the table that they aren't familiar with, they don't have experience with, they don't know about.
And I think that's attractive to a lot of interns and early career psychologists. They want to go to a place where they know they can have ideas and share those ideas and not just sort of fall into the status quo.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, we know the field has become increasingly multidimensional. Talked about it a couple times, how there's many different domains within the practice model, and we're sort of trying to move out of that test and place model as school psychologists. With that increased involvement in the field, what are your hopes for the future for practitioners?
Well, early on when I started, I was focusing an awful lot on IST, and IST focused on one child at a time, essentially. I have evolved from focusing on one child at a time to focusing on multiple children or a system. And I would hope that many new practitioners would go through that same evolution if they don't start out focusing on a system. There was always an analogy, about IST, and one of the failures of it was, it was like throwing the starfish that had washed ashore back into the ocean. And that was great. It was fine. It worked. But the problem was, it didn't take a look at why all the starfish were washing ashore. And I think that's the big difference between focusing on one child versus focusing on a system. We want to put nets in place to protect more children from suffering, from experiencing something that isn't right, something that's wrong. And, that is a message we deliver to the interns that we work with. That's a message that we deliver to any colleague that we work with. And I would hope that anyone entering the field would either take that message with them or would develop that message or hear that message if we speak it somewhere.
Dr. Lillenstein, thank you so much for joining me today and for talking with me.
Well, thank you for having me. Sorry for rambling at times, but I am passionate about what I do. And there are times I start thinking about something and I kind of go off on a tangent. But, at the end of the day, I absolutely love what I do. I look forward to it. I have finished 27 years in the field, 28 if you count the internship year. And so I'm actually, kind of heading down the slide towards the retirement phase. And even though I will have to retire at some point, I can't even think about that because I really like what I do. And I will, I look forward to having interns come along each year because it rejuvenates me. And our interns are starting on Monday, and I can't.
Thank you so much for listening to The Leitner Side of Things. If you have any feedback or topic ideas, let me know on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @SGERA99. See you at the next episode.